It was on the general will of God. And I didn't know this, but I'd already had this message. But this, what I'm talking about, really is the general will of God. And it's a part of the general will of God. I want us to open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to say this has been a very hard evening. So God must have something really good for us because we've struggled all night. Oh. Now, Ron has talked about this particular scripture quite often. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." That means we've all been, as Christians, been born again by the Spirit. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." I want you to say that after me. As it has pleased him. So we all, what the scripture is really saying is that we need to liken the body of Christ to our physical bodies. Our physical body needs every part. And the body of Christ needs every part. And every one of us are called to do our part. A lot of us don't really know what our part is, but that's okay, because you don't have to know it right off the bat. But we need each other, don't we? You know, if you look at our physical bodies and you say, well, if I didn't have a leg, it would be awfully hard for me to get around, wouldn't it? Or if I had a valve in my heart that wasn't working right, you know, my whole body could really, you know, it could just die. You know, so we need to understand that our part in the body is very, very important. I want us to go to 1 Peter 4:10. I'm going to let you use your Bibles tonight. 1 Peter 4:10. We all need to look in our Bible, don't we? You need to underline. You need to make notes. Because this Bible is a living word of God. It's alive. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Verse 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now I want us to go to that verse 10. We all have a gift. We all have many gifts, but we all have this one gift, every one of us. And I want you to underline it in your Bible. It's the word minister. Every one of us born-again believers have the gift to minister. That word minister means to wait on, to attend to. It means to run errands for and to serve. God has given the whole body of Christ the gift to minister, to serve, to wait on. Now, let's look at verse 10 again. It says to minister to who? One to another. We are supposed to serve one another as the body of Christ. Can you say amen? That is the, when I had listened to Ron's message, I thought, that is really the general will of God. We are to serve one another. We are to wait on one another. You know, everybody thinks that to be in the ministry is something glamorous. Well, it's not. It's anything but glamorous. If you've been in it long enough, you'll find that out. Because really, to minister, you are doing a lot for others. You are serving others. You're putting others before yourself. And I know of a minister that said they don't even call their ministry teams. They call them servant teams because they don't want anybody to get any ideas that it's fun, that it's going to be something that's great and admirable. You know, I mean, it is admirable, but it's not something that you're going to jump for joy with all the time. To minister is just like a waiter at a, we got a waitress right here. She knows what it's like. You got to wait on people constantly, and you put them before yourself. And that's what God is calling us to do. We are to minister one to another, and that is for everybody in the church. We are to minister. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Now, we've probably all read this scripture before, but this is talking about when they first started the church. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmur of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Now they're starting to gripe and complain. Now we know that that's usually what people do. But in verse 2 it says, "Then the 12 called the multitudes of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Or is not reasonable. Now I want you to notice that they didn't say they were too good. They said it is not reasonable for the disciples to serve tables. Because the disciples were to be about finding out what God's will was and, you know, helping the people to understand the word of God, helping them to grow in that. So they were saying it's not reasonable for them to serve the tables. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I don't, my husband's not in here, is he? Oh, there he is. I didn't even see you. Oh, shucks. never mind. No, actually, it's not going to hurt for him to hear this, but he might get mad at me for saying it. I don't know. It is not reasonable, and I know I'm pastor's wife, but I don't want anybody to think that I am, you know, getting angry or anything like that. I'm not. This happens in all churches, not just this church, okay? But it's not reasonable that pastors are doing many things that others can be doing. It's not reasonable that the pastors are doing all the work that they're doing. Because really what they're supposed to be about is going to the Lord in prayer, seeking the Lord's face so that they can get up here and stand before you and know exactly what God is telling them. When they are doing things that other people should be doing, they get up here, they're weary, they're tired, and there's not much anointing there. I've seen it. I've seen my husband do things he shouldn't be doing because he's got a heart to serve, which all of us should have a heart to serve. But he does those things because he sees the need, and then he neglects the time that he should be spending in the Word or with God because he's too busy serving others. But his job is to serve, but by getting in God's presence and getting in the Word. So as a body of believers, we need to get together and begin to realize that our calling is to serve. Say that. I want you to say, my calling is to serve. Now, we need to get to the place where we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. And when we do that, man, can you imagine what can happen? I tell you what, it will be exciting when we get to that place. Let's go to verse 3, though. It says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Now, the word for ministry here is where we get the word deacon from. But, you know, we thought deacons were supposed to run the church. Right? That's not what this says here. It says that deacons are to serve everybody in the church. We have a lot of churches that are run by the deacon boards, who have, a lot of them have absolutely no spiritual bone in their body. They don't spend time in the Word. They don't hear the voice of God, and yet they're dictating where the churches are headed to. It's wrong. It's wrong. Deacons are supposed to serve. To serve people. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Let's go to John chapter 13. I'm not going to read that whole thing there. Find it. When I was actually, you know, you kind of know all these things, but then when you hear them from somebody else and you read a book or whatever, it clicks in your head and you're like, yeah. Well, that's what happened to me when I heard this about serving. I'm like, yeah. If we could all get a hold of this message, what could we do in this world? It's astounding. But I want you to look at this example that Jesus gave us in John chapter 13. I'm not going to read that whole thing, but you can kind of glance over it if you want. But I'm in Luke. It's supposed to be in John. All right, there we go. But he's talking about here, when this is before the Passover. This is when Jesus takes off his outer garment. He gets a washcloth and a basin, and he goes around and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And that was reserved for the lowliest of servants. I mean, the lowliest of servants was the one that gets down and washes the dirt and dust from their feet. Because remember, they wore sandals back then. So their feet were filthy because they walked everywhere. So it was grimy, it was dirty, and Jesus got down there and he began to wash their feet. And Jesus said, you call me master and you call me Lord, and this is right. But if I, your master, does this, so shouldn't you? Jesus was setting an example here for the whole body of Christ to get. And, you know, we tend to think of this as a doctrine. You know, some churches believe in washing the feet, in which we do. And some say, oh, it's not necessary. But really what Jesus is saying here is that I came to serve. Jesus, the Son of God, came to serve. Think of that. He said, if I'm here doing this, this is what I want you to do. And it's not just a select few that is to do the serving. It is the whole entire body of Christ. If you are a disciple, which is a disciplined learner, are we disciplined learners? Then we're to serve. We're to serve one another. And I'm not getting to the place where, you know, we got to serve in the church, per se. Now, we all need to. But I'm talking about serving even outside the church. In 1 Peter 4:10, remember, it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Whatever we've been given, whatever abilities we've been given, we need to serve one another. Jesus said, come learn of me. When we become like Jesus, we'll be a servant. Matthew 20, starting in verse 20, this is another story of the mother of Zebedee's children. And I'll wait till you get there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Sometimes I start to say stuff and I'm like, no, it doesn't go there, it goes here. So it messes me up. Okay. It says, then came to him, to Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what do you want, basically? And she said unto him, grant that my two sons may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand or on my left, only my Father can determine that. Now, Jesus said, Let me see what I'm thinking here. Let me go ahead and read a little bit further. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with the indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them and said unto them, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, I didn't come to get a bunch of people to serve me. He didn't come like the normal kings that you think of, where, you know, I just want everybody to wait on me, just do for me, do for me. No, he's the King of Kings. And he said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. He came and he laid down his life for us. Even right now, if you think about it, Jesus, when he laid down his life, he went to heaven, and he's now even interceding for us. So he's still serving us. In the kingdom of God, it says the greatest is the one who serves. Well, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Say that louder. Jesus. And Jesus came to serve. I want us to try to get this in our hearts. This is something that's not something you might want to do as a Christian. This is something God commands us to do as a Christian. We have churches that are filled with people that aren't doing anything. They're letting just a few people do everything, and not just in the church, even outside the church. They're not serving anybody. It's like we're afraid to do anything. But the Lord says that we have to be servants if we're a child of God. If you say I'm a Christian, or if you want to say it this way, Christ I am, then you are a servant. You're going to think about serving all the time. You know, my husband and I, when we're at home and we don't have anything to do for a change, which is very few times, we'll sit around and we'll be bored silly because we don't have anybody to serve. We're like, what are we going to do today? You know? We're constantly thinking about doing something for others. You know, we're coming up here to the church doing something, you know. It's like when you are really in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to serve constantly. That's just in your nature. That's in your makeup, because that's the way our God the Father is, and that's the way Jesus is. They are servants. You know, everybody thinks that when we get to heaven, we're just going to sit around, we're going to sing and just, you know, have a little choir and just let angels wait on us. And that's not what it's going to be like. When we get to heaven, we're going to work. We're going to serve one another. How many of you heard that Jesse Duplantis? Yes, that when he went to heaven, and I know that Destin has that DVD, but, you know, he was up there, and he said that people were serving one another. And when you get to heaven, they're always asking, you know, if they can do something for you. If you want to, you know, they're always about what is good for you. They're not looking to be served. They're looking to serve one another. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. And heaven is actually a reflection of what we're supposed to be. I mean, that's what's in heaven is what it should be here on this earth. How many of you agree with that? So if we're going to be serving in heaven, we need to be serving down here now. So I just want to burst your bubble there. You're going to be working. You're going to be working in heaven, okay? But God's way is the best way. It's the most fulfilling way. You know, but if you aren't fulfilled in your Christian walk, maybe you need to ask yourself, I mean, look at your life and see if you're serving in any way. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to make you serve. He's not like the devil. The devil wants to make you serve him. He wants to make you do what's right. Not what's right, but what's right for him. He wants to make you feel guilty, make you feel condemned. He wants to make you do what he wants you to do. But the Holy Spirit won't do that. If he could make you serve, then he would make you be saved. But he can't make you be saved either. You've got to want to serve. You know, that's why there's pain and anguish in the world We have a free will. People have to choose to ignore God and do evil things. And when they do evil things, the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Is death. That's right. We are to live a life of service and not of selfishness, because this is the very nature of God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. They're servants. If you will let them, they can make you an excellent servant. We're to serve in humility. You know, there are some people that like to serve only when others are around watching, you know. If somebody's watching them serve, then they're going to be there. But if they don't have an audience, then they don't want to do nothing. That's not what God wants. He wants us to serve when people are not watching. You know, when you're doing things for the Lord or doing things for others that nobody even knows what you're doing, and you don't have to go out and broadcast what you're doing. You're just doing it because your Father is pleased with that. And so you're doing that because it pleases Him. You know, we talked about pastors. You know, pastors' jobs is to feed us the Word. Sometimes we don't like the Word, do we? We're like babies, and you know how babies spit the food out, and you take the spoon and you just scrape their face and you just shove it back in their mouth. You know, that's what pastors do a lot. You may not like the Word, but He's going to scrape it off your face and shove it back in again. And that's really what He's doing when He's serving us. He's feeding us. He's feeding all the babes out there. And we're all babies in a lot of ways. You know, if we allow each one of us to begin to serve one another, there's going to be such great joy. There's not going to be needs and wants in the church, because there's going to be people out there serving one another. The fivefold ministry, can you name it? There's pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, and apostles. Thank you, John. That's not a title. It's a job description. There's a lot of people that think that some, you know, that if I'm an evangelist, I'm somebody great. Well, you are a servant. That's your job description. And, you know, it's not something for you to really brag about. Yes, you should honor your position, but we should all be humble about where God has called us to be. In Colossians 3:17-24, Paul talks about serving one another. And, you know, like I said, it's not just in the church. But, you know, in Colossians, if we open up our Bible there, I hope I'm not putting everybody to sleep here. It's been a while since I've been up here, so it's kind of like I have to reprogram myself here. I'm used to teaching the kids where you just have to go for every few minutes a spurt here and a spurt there to get their attention, you know. Okay. 3:17-24. Make sure I'm in the right one. No, let's start with verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And servants, obey in all things. Really what he's saying here, Paul is talking about serving one another. Husbands, you need to serve your wife. Wives, you need to serve your husbands. Children, you need to serve your parents. Parents, you need to serve your children. And even out on the job, we need to be serving our bosses and working as under the Lord, and not just going out there and just, you know, trying to make a buck and doing all things that we know we shouldn't do on the job. We're serving God by serving others. I'm going to ask you this question. Probably getting ahead of myself, but does Jesus really need anything? Does He need any clothes? Does He need any healing? Does He need deliverance? Doesn't need any of those, does He? But His children does. So if we serve His children, then we're serving Jesus, right? How do you know if someone is really serving the Lord? They're serving the saints. Ooh, that kind of hurts it sometimes, doesn't it? If you're serving the saints, you're serving the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a good statement there. You know, the Bible says even this, that if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto Me. If you give somebody a glass of water, you've done it unto Jesus. If you give them your home to stay in for a while, you're doing it unto Jesus. Romans 1:9 says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." It's with my spirit, he's saying. Romans 12:10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, prefer one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." That's the Holy Spirit's will for us, to prefer one another. What does prefer mean? Putting them before yourself. I'm just going to just kind of give you some examples. What does it mean to serve? You know, in the church, it's pretty easy. I mean, as far as doing church things, to serve in the church, you could be doing the children's church. You could be doing nursery. You can be doing youth. You could be an usher, which, by the way, we do need some ushers, more ushers. We need people to greet at the doors. People have to clean the church. There's so many different things that you could be doing in the church that's work. But what about this? What about if you see somebody in the church that comes up to you and says, "I have a need. I need my electric bill paid." What do you do? What's your first thought when that happens? Is it, "Let me go tell the pastor"? Well, that's really what most people do. And, you know, the pastor, of course, is kind-hearted, and if there's any money that can help in the benevolent fund, we will do that. Or if it's not, a lot of times we do that of our own pocketbook. But what if God sent that person to you so that you could help them, so that you could serve them? And you say, "Well, I don't have the money to help them. I don't have all that money to help them with that." Well, what if you could just pay a little bit of it? If we would all do our part in that and not just instantly run to the pastor or those that are in the head of the church and think that they're going to take care of it all because we have a limited budget. And the pastor doesn't have an unlimited bank account, you know, so. But if the whole church together would see the needs and begin to help one another. Now you say, "Well, how can I trust that person if I give them $20? How do I know they're going to spend it on their electric bill?" Write them a check. Write it out to Ameren UE. You know, if you don't have a checkbook, go and get you a money order. Whatever it takes. But begin to let God use you to serve others. What happens if somebody needs a ride to church? Well, let's call and let Tracy come pick them up. Oh, she's only got 20 on her list. Another 21's not going to hurt. But what if they're on the way for you and you could just zip right by instead of making Tracy go 10 miles out of the way to pick them up? What if God is putting people in your life so that you can serve them? Are these examples helping? There's so many ways that we can serve one another. We don't need to push it off on somebody else. God has called each one of us to serve. If you're not happy in your Christian walk, I guarantee that you could probably look and see if you're really serving other people. Because as a child of God, that's where you're going to find peace at. That's where you're going to find happiness at. It's serving one another. And if you're not doing that, you're going to be miserable. Or unfulfilled anyways, maybe not miserable, but unfulfilled. You're going to wonder why you're not feeling fulfilled as a Christian, but the Christian walk is all about serving. Now, I want to give you another example here. In Luke chapter 4, this is something a little bit different. In Luke chapter 4, verse 38, "He arose out of the synagogue and he entered Simon's house." This is Peter. "And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever." Everybody say, "Great fever."
Great fever.
That means that she was really, really sick. With a great fever, probably, you know, on the verge of death. "And they besought Jesus for her. And he stood over her. He rebuked the fever." Now, just a little side note here. I want you to notice that Jesus spoke to the fever. You can speak to sickness. It does hear you. "And it left her." If it didn't hear it, it wouldn't have left. But it heard Jesus. It left her. "And immediately," say that word, "immediately," "she arose and ministered unto them." You know, if that would have happened, if we would have had somebody really sick and we would have laid hands on them and they got healed. We would have been excited, but then we would have been patting their hand and saying, you know, don't get up. Don't minister to us because, you know, you've been really sick. You just lay there and be comfortable, you know, and we'll wait on you. But Jesus didn't stop her because she was made to serve. You're saved to serve. You're healed to serve. You're delivered to serve. She got up. She began to serve the people. She didn't get back in that bed and say, you know, I need to rest a while. She got up immediately. Now I want you to say that after me. I am saved to serve. I'm healed to serve. I'm delivered to serve. I want to give you a story about Oral Roberts. You know, most of you know he had tuberculosis. And he was, when he was young, and at the point of death. Wasn't it TB? Okay. You looked at me funny, so I thought I was wrong. All right. So he went to a meeting, and this man prayed over him, and he got healed. Well, when he came back, and Richard Roberts is the one that told this story after he passed away. He said when he came back after he got healed, he was still very, very weak in his body. And he was so weak that, you know, he wanted to go lay down. Well, his mother said, okay, you lay down, but you lay down on top of the covers and you lay down with your clothes on. Because she knew something. She knew that if he got back under the covers and took his clothes off, that sickness could come back into his body. So she knew that, hey, you need to get up. You need to be about doing some things. Come on now. That sickness is not going to come back on you if you start to do things. And if we start to minister when we're healed, I guarantee you that sickness won't come back on. Or if it does try, it's going to be out of there in no time. Because serving is where God has called us to do. If we want to sit down, back down, and feel sorry for ourselves that we had gone through that, but, oh, God, I'm so thankful that I got healed. But, you know, I'm just wore out. I don't think I'm going to do anything for a while. You know, that sickness could very well come right back on you. We were healed to serve. I'm so glad I heard that right. Back in Luke chapter 8, and I'm fixing to close. It came to pass, I'm trying to go fast, I'm not giving you a whole lot of time to look them up, but verse 1, it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. These women ministered to Jesus, not just to Jesus, but to the disciples of their substance, meaning their finances. I'm sure they had clothing. Whatever they had, they gave it at Jesus' disposal and the disciples' disposal. There's ways for us to serve in every area, and these women did it. I would love to have been a part of that during that time, serving the Lord with my substance. Like I said, you can serve people with money. You can serve people with your substance. How about your time? There's a lot of people that need your time. They need to be mentored to. They need to be a spoken and encouraging word. How many of you can pick up a card when you see somebody that's not here and just write a card to them and send it to them and encourage them and tell them you miss them? I mean, those are ways to serve people. Muscle. We can serve God with our muscle. We're going to be moving a lady that lives in Gerald, Missouri. Used to come to our church. We're going to be going up there with a truck and a trailer to move her back. Muscle, time, energy. You can serve people that way. And I just want to encourage people that if you've got something that you can give, and you just say, well, I can give my time. I can give muscle if you need it. I can give, you know, I'm a mechanic. I can work on cars if you need it. Let the pastor know. Let some people in the church know so that they can come to you when they're in need. Because if we're doing like the book of Acts did and meeting each other's needs, then the whole Bonterre area and Mineral area will want to be a Christian because they know that they're being taken care of, that we love one another, that we're serving one another, that we're doing what Christ wants us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I just want to Adam, if you want to come on up, just play something soft. I just want to give you an opportunity. If this message ministered to you at all, if you it's like, well, yeah, I need to serve. I need to do something more than what I'm doing. And if you just want to come up and just say, Lord, I understand what you're saying. I want to do that. Show me. Now, you know, Pastor talked about the general will Sunday. If you cannot steer a parked car. It's only when it's moving that you can steer it. You know, when I found my position here, or really where God wanted me to be, I started out just serving. I didn't have a clue what God wanted me to be, where he wanted me to be. I just knew that I had a hunger in my heart to serve. And I just picked up wherever there was in the church that needed to be done. I just, you know, went in there. But as I was doing, all the years that I was doing, God was steering me and putting me in the position that he wanted me in the body. You know, a lot of you are saying, I don't have a clue what my gift is. I don't know where, what part of the body I'm supposed to be. You never will until you start to serve. And you start to move. And you start to do things. And then you're going to find that God is going to steer you into that perfect place for you. But you're not going to do it sitting. You're not going to do it just being all to yourself. It's not going to happen. But I just want to encourage you, if this really meant something to you and you say, God, I really want to serve. I want to serve your children because they mean so much to you. Help me to do that. I dedicate myself to you to do that. I'm going to make a point right now to do that. I want you to just come up and just speak it to you in the Lord. Like, God, I want that. I want that. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the position God wants me to be in. I want to know exactly what he wants me to do. And I'm going to find it out too. I'm finding out more and more as I go along. God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, many years ago, I would have never thought I would have been up in front of adults teaching. But it's because I started to serve in the little kids and started to do this and that. And God started to give me boldness and confidence. And I began to serve and he began to show me what's in my heart. He can do the same for you. He can do the same for you. Hallelujah. I want you to say this, those that are up front. I want you to say, Lord, I know that I was saved, born again, so that I can serve. When I serve your children, I'm serving you. Help me to do that. Help me not to be lazy. Help me to step out when there's a need, not to be selfish, but to help others. And as I'm doing that, lead me into that perfect place where you want me to be. I surrender right now to your will. I want to do all that you want me to do, Lord. And I thank you for hearing my prayer right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Before we dismiss, I just want to share one story with you. I was watching a church service in California, and there it was about 2,500 people there. There were some people in there with some great needs. A homeless lady and her son living under a bridge. Two or three other needs, I forget exactly what they were, but the Lord gave the pastor the word. He said, there's a homeless lady here that you're living under a bridge and you're God's child and this is not right. He said, I want you to come up. This lady came up, circumstance had put her there. He said, now I want the church to be the church. Say that with me. I'm the church. And he had that lady stand there. And people began to come. A guy that owned a house came up and gave her the house to stay there as long as she needed to stay. This is in California where houses are $500,000 for an average home. And before she left that service, they began to pile money on that lady. And I think it was six or seven, maybe $10,000 they laid on this lady. Wouldn't it be glorious if the church could get outside of itself and get our eyes off of ourselves and onto each other? You know, there's needs in this church. Love isn't love till it's activated. Serving isn't serving till you're doing something. And the church needs to come. We think that Jesus said, how many would like to be great in the kingdom? The greatest, he said, among you is the least, the servant of all. Well, I thought it was the guy that got up here and God gave him all the words. And you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that those that were highly visible, that God used in a lot of ways we think is so great, is the ones that we don't see that are behind the scenes are the one that God's going to highly exalt. I want the church tonight, we have a need. It's a small need. But there's a lady, a widow in this church, that her battery is dead in her car. There's not a man to help her, family or no one. Wouldn't it be great if we take up an offering tonight and we buy her that battery? Cannot afford to get it till she's on a fixed income till the first of the month. I want to give you an opportunity to, what you heard tonight, put it into practice. I envision seeing the church that when people come in, like in the book of Acts, if we want a great move of the Spirit, then we got to say, everything that's at my disposal, Lord, everything I own is yours. Do you know I've done that? Somebody asked me, Pastor, you got a big bank account? Not anymore. You know what was said of Oral Roberts? He said, people are going to be dumbfounded to know how little I own when I leave and go to glory. If you would, could I get an offering plate up here? You think a dollar wouldn't help? A dollar will help. I think about $75 will buy a battery. And then I know a man in this church that will put it in for us. If you got an offering you want to donate, please just bring it forward. Father, you see the gifts. You see the offerings. Lord, you see their giving of their labor, and it's a labor of love. And Father, we thank you so much that there's a heart in this church for people and each other. You said when the body is complete and working in unison together, that it's edified. And Father, I thank you tonight that this body is edified. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for you, Caleb, for tonight, so if that's okay. Let me do my prayer first. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Mom wants to donate her 10% discount to Walmart.
I don't know who all was here when I said that I had received some money to help out on different things. I've been in a lot of prayer. There's a pasture in India. They're building it. They're working, building right now the orphanage and the widows and et cetera. And the weather's getting cold. His name is Jacob Prasad. I have seen his children, and they've seen me on the cams and et cetera. It's just been beautiful. They don't have what we have. So God put it on my heart. The weather's getting cold, and Jacob has never had a sweater. His wife has never had a shawl. The children have never had sock caps. I crocheted a shawl. It's a beautiful shawl. I bought a sweater through the guidance of the Holy Ghost. I bought the sock caps. I got tracts from India in Indian language. I put in Christmas stockings. I packed that to be so tight I almost had to sit on it. It cost $40 for priority. The weather is getting cold. It's on its way to India from Victory Worship Center and Word Ministries. And Jacob and her name is Hepsheba want to thank everybody and keep them in your prayers because they are building an orphanage. Are they trying to right now? They've had one to burn down. Keep them in your prayer that this winter, on through the rains and everything, that God will meet their needs. But I wanted you all to know this because God laid it on my heart. We can do, as Donna said, no matter whether we're here or whether we're over, we've got things going overseas, but we have to have a servant's heart. And but anyway, I got it in today, and I thought it was horrible, the pricing. But it is, I went, it was 27 first, and I thought I can't, you know, this has to get in there. So I went on the Senate priority, but it is from the worship center also.
Amen. Stand to your feet. Father, bless this people in Jesus' name. God, you're the God of all glory, all favor. And Lord, you have a way of meeting needs. God, I thank you that you have a body in the earth. And Father, I decree your favor over this body, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we have favor with you and with men. And I just ask you, Lord, to bless this people in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Shake somebody's hand as you go tonight. Amen. Amen.